All right, welcome to day two of SharePoint Conference. I hope everyone had a great first day with the keynote and the introductory sessions that kind of scratched the surface of the new innovation that's in SharePoint 2013. So on day two, we'll start to dig a little deeper into some of the specifics of SharePoint 2013. So this session is called Customizing Search Experiences. My name is Kerem Yücetürk. I'm a program manager with the SharePoint product group. I'm a member of the Enterprise Content Management team, and I previously worked in the SharePoint Search team, so I'm representing both of those teams here today. So I'll start off with a question. Quick show of hands. How many of you here went through frustration and mental agony while using XSL trying to customize your search results? Quite a few people. Yes. Well, we feel your pain, and we have the cure. It's called display templates. And you'll learn all about it in a few minutes. Let's get started. So in this session, I want you to take away two things. One, you will learn how to customize search experiences not only in search centers, but also in portals that use the new content search web part. And also, at the end of the session, you will have an understanding of display templates and result types and understand how you can use those two technologies in your sessions. So here's what we're going to build. First, we're going to start off in the Contoso Electronics intranet site, and we're going to add some content search web parts to that site so that we start showing some dynamic content, and then we'll use display templates to customize how that content looks. Then we're going to go to the search center, where we will actually create a custom result type for surfacing the content specific to your enterprise in the best way possible. So let's get started with the content search web part. So did any of you ever face a situation where you had to go create a custom solution or write some code to go and pull content from other site collections? Yeah, so with content search web part, we now have an out-of-box web part that will do that for you. So let me introduce the scenario for a minute here. So the scenario is showing dynamic content. So this could be a list of articles that you want to show in your intranet page. It could be a list of reports. It can be a list of news stories that you want in your intranet site. So if you are using SharePoint 2010 or 2007, you would be relying on the content query web part to do this. So content query was great in pulling content from the current site collection and then surfacing that content in the form of a list of articles or documents. But if you wanted to go and grab content from some other site collections, then you were out of luck because content query web part is limited in its scope to the current site collection only. So in SharePoint 2013, as we merged the fast search with SharePoint search and integrated it deeply into SharePoint, we are providing a new tool that knows no site collection boundaries. This tool is called Content Search. So this is what the new flow looks like. So we have our site collections and content on the left-hand side here. What will happen is that search will go ahead and crawl this content, and then once that content is crawled, it will be placed in the search index. And then we will go to another site collection and add a content search web part to that site collection, so it will go and pull that content for us. So content search web part can be used to show anything that's in the search index. You can use the content across from site collections. You can even use content that's not in SharePoint if you have a way to crawl that and get the content into the search index. It can also be used to surface popular items or recommendations thanks to the analytics capabilities that are built into SharePoint Search. The technologies used for content search web part are very similar to the search results web part. However, they are used actually, they're used for different scenarios. So the search results web part is optimized for showing content in your search center, helping the users show some search results in the search center. Whereas the content search web part is actually optimized for publishing scenarios. So it doesn't require a search box or a user typing in a query into a search box. It will simply take the user a navigation to the site, and then once the user navigates to the site, content just appears. So one caveat I'd like to mention before we move into the details, the content search web part is not available on SharePoint Online. It's only available for on-premises installations right now. So content search is about two things. One is getting the results, and we will talk about the query builder, and then part two is about showing the results. So let's talk about getting the results. So content search web parts features this full screen query builder so that you can have the confidence of building the right query, because it's not always the easiest thing to formulate a search query, especially with all the dynamic properties at play. So we wanted to provide a tool that will help you get to the results that you wanted. The full screen query builder basically allows you to select some properties on the left hand side, and then preview the results of that those selections in the query that gets executed on the right hand side. So you have the confidence about what you're creating. It's fully integrated with the result sources and query rules, which are the new search concepts that we introduced in SharePoint 2013. Result sources are basically similar to search scopes in SharePoint 2010, but that they are a little more capable than search scopes. And then query rules are a great way to interact with your results and then manipulate them in the way that you find valuable. If you would like to learn more about those, please go and see the Wednesday morning session by Pedro de Rose on building great search-based applications with query rules. It's highly recommended. And if you want to get hands-on experience, there's a hands-on lab where you can go ahead and try the query rules. Another interesting point about the query builder is it helps you create, it helps you use these query variables. So if you ever wanted to use a custom property from the current user's user profile in your queries, or if you wanted to reach into the web's property bag and pull a custom property out and use that in your query, then content search has you covered. This creates a great opportunity to create customization scenarios without the need to go and write custom code. Okay, so that was the results. Let's talk about showing the results. So you guys remember this thing? This is XSL from the SharePoint 2010 search results web part. And this is what you had to learn and change if you wanted to customize your search results. So in SharePoint 2013, we're saying goodbye to XSL and saying hello to display templates. The display templates allow you to craft the perfect look in HTML and JavaScript for your search results instead of in XSL. So display templates are basically do the following. So they retrieve the managed properties that you want. So you get to specify what managed properties you want to show. And then display templates will go and retrieve those from search for you. And then they will display them using HTML and JavaScript instead of XSL. They're executed in the browser, so they allow for much richer interaction with the end user through the browser, similar to all of the web-based applications that you use every day. So I'd like to talk about one more thing before we move to the demo section, which is the layers for display templates. So display templates basically come in five varieties, but there are two that I want you to remember for the following section where we go into the demo. One is control, which is everything around the results shown in blue here. So these are things like your paging result, paging controls, or your number of results returned, or your no items found message. And then shown in orange here are the item display templates. And those are the individual items themselves and the managed properties used and then how they're displayed. In addition to those two, we also have filter, group, and hover panel. You can see the filter display templates in green here, but we will talk about those later when we move on to the Search Center. So with that, let's move on to the demo environment and see content search in action. Okay, so I have my Contoso Electronics intranet site here. Well, it looks like we're having a little trouble with our demo environment here. So the VPN that my servers are on, it looks like we lost the connectivity to the VPN. So let me try to connect to that again. So we'll see how that works. I have some backup slides if I need to go to slides, but let's give this a minute. Let's verify credentials. Okay, this is taking longer than expected. It doesn't look like it wants to connect. The demo gods are not cooperating. Okay, so let me go back to my backup slides. Going into my documents. Here are my PowerPoint decks with the screenshots that I took from the site while I was practicing for this demo yesterday. So hopefully it will be as good as the real thing. Okay. Yeah, let me adjust my screen here so that I'm showing you the right thing. Not the presenter view. Okay, that should work. Okay, so here I am on the Contoso Electronics intranet site. Few adjustments here. Yes, the demo environment's still not there. Okay, so here we are at the Contoso Electronics site, and what I want to do is I want to add three content search web parts here. There will be one with the items from another site collection. I will add a second one that will go and pull some pictures and start showing those pictures on the site. And then I will add a third content search web part, which will start to show personalized items. Okay, so how do we go about that? We click on the edit page icon, and then I will go ahead and click on insert in the ribbon and click on web parts. I'm clicking on web part now, and that will get me the categories and the web parts. So under the content rollup category, you can see the content search web parts that I've selected to add to my page, basically. I will go ahead and click on Add. And just like that, the content search web part is added to my page, and immediately it starts showing me some results. So content search web parts are pre-configured to go and pull the three most recently modified items from the site that I'm on. That's why it immediately starts showing some results when I add it to my page. So the results that are coming back here happen to be some visual results, because the top two are some pages, and we're seeing the content roll-up image from those pages. And the third one is actually a picture, so we're seeing that the information there. But this is not what I want to see. So let me actually edit this web part, so I can go and change what I'm showing in content search. So here's the content search tool pane, and this is primarily does two main things. One is getting the content. The second part is changing how that content looks. So in order to get the content, I will go ahead and click on the Change Query button, and that will bring up the full screen query builder experience. So in the query builder, on the left-hand side, you see these drop-downs that will help me formulate my search query. When I go ahead and click on the first drop-down, I will be able to see the result source that are available to me. So let me go ahead and move to that slide. So you can see that in this slide, I have a number of result sources that have been predefined for me by the search administrator. If we had some custom result sources, they would be showing up here. The ones that I'm showing here are the ones that we provide out of box. So I will go ahead and select the result source that is named documents, because I would like to show some documents from the other site collection. So I will go ahead and click on documents. And immediately when I click on, when I select documents, the preview on the right-hand side changes and shows me the content that's only documents instead of, you know, all of the items that were recently modified. But this is still scoped to the current site. I actually want to go ahead and pull content from another site collection. So that's the next dropdown. So I want to change that. So I click on that dropdown, and I have the options of going to the current site collection, current site, or not restricting this thing at all. But I don't want any of those. I want to actually specify a URL. And then when I specify a URL, I get a text box where I can paste in a URL. So I will select that and then go to go paste in a URL from another site collection to the text box that appears. So you can, well, although these are slides, what I would have shown you is the URL that you see on top is the intranet.contoso.local. It's a different web app than the one that I'm pulling content from. So this is on http://authoring.contoso.local. So we're definitely going across sites. We're going across web apps, actually. All right. So the moment you tab out of that text box that you pasted your URL in, your preview also gets updated, and then shows you the results from that other site collection. So okay. So I click OK to close the query builder. I have the query that I want. I could see it in the preview panel that the results I wanted are coming back. So I will change the number of items to show to 5, and I will basically click apply. And when I click apply, the content search web part will start to show those items from that other site collection that I entered the URL in for. But these don't really look that great. I mean, before we had pictures, we had picture typed items. So that display template was appropriate for showing that content. But instead, I want to, I'm getting back these question marks because these items don't have images associated with them. So let's look at the display template section for a second. As I mentioned, the most important layers of display templates that you should know about are control, which is everything around the results, and item, which is the individual items themselves. So let's pull down this control display template. You see options like list, which is, you know, I'm showing a list of items. That sounds appropriate for the occasion. You could also go for list with paging or a slideshow. I'm going to go ahead and click on list with paging and see what happens. And these are slides, I know, but please bear with me. So the moment you click on list with paging, we go ahead and change the display templates that you see on the left-hand side. You don't need to go click apply. It's just dynamically previewing. We can do this because these are all client-side rendered scripts. So the moment you change something, we will just go and preview it for you. This is one of the many improvements that we introduced to make the editing process easier and smoother for you without the waiting for the postback, clicking on apply. It will just work when you switch over the drop-down. So I went back to list there, and then I pulled down the item display template menu. And what I have here is, you know, some other display templates that are appropriate for items. These are different than the control ones. And you can see I have a diagnostic one, which is great for figuring out what results you're getting back from search. We have large picture, picture on left, picture on top. Those seem to be all with, you know, all visual styles. And then I have this two lines display templates here at the bottom. So I will go ahead and select that one. And when you select that, it immediately changes the display template again. And this one is a more appropriate display template for this kind of data because it shows a little icon for the type of document that we're showing, and then it shows the title. It doesn't take as much space. So I think I'll stick with this display template for this time, for this content. So I click OK. And I'm done with that display template. Just like that, we were able to pull the data in and then customize how the results looked using the out-of-box display templates. So let's look at the pictures. So I will go ahead and click on Insert Web Part again. But instead of going to the content roll-up category that I previously went to insert the content search web part, I will go to this new category called search-driven content. So what we have in that category are basically pre-configured content search web parts. So they're content search web parts, but they've been pre-configured with some special result sources or queries and reference some of the out-of-box display templates to kind of get you a head start on where you want to go. So if you wanted to show some pictures on your site, you could simply go here and select pictures, and as soon as I click add, it will start showing the pictures, showing the items from the current site collection that are of content type image or picture, and then use a nice slideshow view and use a large picture item display template so that, you know, the pictures are displayed in the best way possible. You can still go ahead and click on edit web part, and then, you know, change the query to tweak it to be what you want it to be, or, you know, change it to use another custom display template. It's still the same web part. It's just, it's been pre-configured to meet some of the scenarios out of box. And I actually even, you know, go into edit web part here, and just to prove that there's no magic here, on the right-hand side, you can see that it's been configured to show 10 items, and the display templates that we have chosen here are slideshow and large picture. All right, so we're done with 2 out of 3. Let's add the personalized items. So I will go ahead and click on Edit Web Part. And I will go to the Content Rollup category again to add a Content Search Web Part. I'm clicking on Add here. And all right, and then I edited that web part and clicked on Change Query, and then I'm back at the Query Builder here. So I will talk a little more about the Query Builder. And, you know, this seems like, you know, it's kind of very basic, and it helps you, you know, guide and get some results back. But it also has great great power that if you want it. So if I go ahead and click to the Switch to Advanced Mode link here, I will basically go to a mode that is a large search box here into which you can write any keyword query that you want. We also have some drop downs on top that will help you to create see some of the managed properties that you can use in your queries and assign some dynamic values you can use in your queries. If you move over to the refinement tab, these are the refiners that are coming back for this set of results. The refiners that are available, basically. So what you can do is you can add some of these refinements as conditions to your original query. So this will not add a refinement web part to your page, but it will be as if the users have clicked on that refinement, and that's the result set that you're seeing. So it makes writing those conditions easier for you, basically. You could go over to sorting in the advanced mode, and the light's brighter, please. All right. So in the sorting tab, you could in the advanced mode, you could also go to the sorting tab and then sort by any managed property that is actually marked as sortable in your search schema. So let's go back to the quick mode, basically. And from the results source dropdown, I selected this out-of-box result source that we have called items related to the current user. So when I select that, the results preview changed to show me the 22 items that are related to my current user. I'm using this user named Ken for this demo. And those are the results that he's coming back. Those are mostly pretty much everything on the site because I'm the site administrator here. But let's look over to the test tab that is on the very end. So when you click on test tab, it goes and shows you the query text that we have created for you that is being executed to get back the set of particular results. This is good for two things. One, you can understand what's going on, right? We're not trying to hide things away from you by locking you down to that basic UI. You can actually go to the test tab and see exactly what query is being executed. So you can copy and paste those things into the advanced query if you want to, you know, create more advanced things of your own. And notice this field here called people. This is one of the new managed properties we introduced. And you can see that my user's name has been substituted in there. Let's click on show more to see what's happening. So when you click on show more, this section here, this will show you a number of dynamic things that have been introduced into the keyword query, and then that gets substituted in real time when the query is being executed. So the user field in brackets is one of those special fields. It basically goes and pulls the current user's name and inserts it into the query. So you can see that for this case, the username has been substituted as Ken Ewart, and because that's the user that I'm working with. If this were, this could be any other properties from the current user's user profile as well. So what you would do is user dot and then provide the property name, and you could reach into that property from the user profile store, or you could use other keywords such as web for the current web, and so on. So what I want to do here is I want to understand how these results would look for another user. So I simply go in there and then type in another user's name and click on test query. And the results preview actually, instead of using my own name, goes and pulls the value that I substituted there and then starts showing that in the preview to give me the confidence for what this would appear as for other users. All right, so this seems like, you know, it's doing the job. So I click OK. And here I am on my site. And I'm showing some personalized items here at the bottom. I scroll down to the bottom here. So in Firefox, in the meanwhile, another user logs in and comes to my site. And then you can see that while so this user is Dita, so this is a different user than Ken that I was using previously. So you can see that the top two content search web parts are showing exactly the same content. But the personalized items are actually documents that this particular user authored and added to the site. Okay. So let me switch back to my slides. So let's do a quick summary of what we've done here. So we basically rolled up documents from another site collection by using a content search web part, using the simple view. Then we changed how they looked using the out-of-box display templates. We put up a slideshow by using one of the out-of-box web parts in the web part gallery. And then we also showed some personalized results. So within those 10, 15 minutes, we were able to basically take that empty site and then make it into something that has dynamic content. So what if you want to create your own display templates? So the best place, the display templates live in the master page gallery. So in the master page gallery, there are simply files that you can interact with. And you can basically map a network drive or open the view in Explorer and use any editor that you want to go and change these display templates. I will go and check my demo environment again. Because this part, although I have slides for that too, is not as fun as the previous one. All right. Sorry, we have no luck. So the master page gallery works well for display templates because you can just deal with the files that you have in the master page gallery. This also means that you can just copy and paste display templates from one site collection to the other, and they will just work wherever you place them in the master page gallery. So if you've got a zip file from someone else for some cool display templates, you can just unzip that in your master page gallery, and they should just work because they basically look at the content type of the files and then take the appropriate action, hook it up to the content search web parts as necessary. You can use the editor of your choice. So this could be Dreamweaver, this could be ExpressionWeb, this could be Visual Studio, or another simple editor like Notepad. You do not have to boot up SharePoint Designer at all to get the benefit of editing these display templates. Sure, go ahead. Yes, so you will be able, there are some attributes on the display templates that can make them hidden or, you know, available to all of the users. So, no, it does not have an inheritance structure. Okay. So let's see the custom display templates slides. All right. So what we want to do, thank you. So what we want to do here is I'm on my site that I was previously showing you. So what I've done is I've clicked on site settings, and in site settings, I will go ahead and click on master pages and page layouts. So when you go into the master page gallery, you will notice that we have this folder here called display templates. This is for all of the display templates that we provide out of box. They don't have to be here. They can be placed anywhere in the master page gallery, but this is just there for convenience. So you can browse the out of box ones that you have and copy and, you know, use them to create your own. So you click on display templates. You can see there's a nice folder structure inside with content web parts. Those are the display templates that the content search web part uses. Then we have search, we have filters, and you know, some of the other ones that the system uses elsewhere in SharePoint as well. So what I want to do is I want to click on library here in the ribbon, and then I will go ahead and click on open with Explorer. So this will basically open this window into this Explorer window into my master page gallery. So I can start interacting with these items as files. So I will double click on the content web parts and then go into that folder. So the thing that you may notice that we have all the things that we have been seeing in those dropdowns when we looked at the content search tool pane. So we had lists, then we had list with paging, we had slideshow, and then some of the item display templates like large picture, picture three lines, etc. What you probably also noticed is that there are two of each files, right? There are two types of files for each of the display templates that we were seeing. There's an HTML file, and then there's a JavaScript file. So what you have to remember here is that you always deal with the HTML file. The HTML file is tied to the JS file, and then the JavaScript file basically gets updated every time you update the HTML file. This happens automatically for display templates. You do not have to go and touch the JS file. You should not touch the JS file. JS file is what SharePoint uses. What you deal with is HTML. The SharePoint, as soon as you upload an HTML document or save an HTML document that you opened from your master page gallery, automatically generates the JS file for you. Yes? So as long as you have the enterprise site features enabled, this will work for HTML files that are of content type display template. So it's not all the HTML files. This is only for HTML files that have that content type. Go ahead.
So if I copy one of those HTML files automatically.
That's right. So see what happens now. So I will go ahead and select this item two lines HTML file. And what I want to do is copy, right? Because the best way to go and create your own display template is actually starting off with something that's close to what you want. Because it has all that content type information embedded into the header of the file. So when you copy one, SharePoint immediately knows that it's a display template that it's dealing with. So the easiest way to create a display template is go and copy one that we already provided out of box. So I will select that and copy it, the item two lines. Remember that item two lines was was the display template that I used for my very first content search web part when I was showing those file names and the icons of the file types. So I copy that, and then I paste it into the same folder. And I will rename it to documents with dates. And if I refresh that page, then you see that automatically, without me doing anything, that JS file has been created for me. So it basically took that and then recreated that JS file under that name. So I'm going to go ahead and start editing this HTML file, right? So I will right-click on it, and then I will use Notepad++ for editing this display template. You could be using any text editor, any HTML editor that you want, that you're comfortable with. So the most important thing to start off with is this title field that you see on top. That is the name that appears in those dropdowns that we pulled down on the content search tool pane. The title is what gets parsed out and then gets placed in those dropdowns. So it's important to give it a descriptive name, so we can tell it apart from the two lines display template that we copied it from. So I changed the two lines title to documents with dates here. What I want to do next is I want to pull in some additional data, so I can show some additional things. For example, these are documents. So it would be helpful to see the last modified times for these documents alongside the names of the documents. So what I want to do is I want to go and fetch the last modified time managed property for these results. To be able to do that, I will go into the screen section here, which is the custom document property. So this is the section that actually makes the magic of display templates work. This is why we're copying and pasting these display templates. You can see that we have the content type ID embedded here, and that's what tells SharePoint that this is a display template. You can see that the target control type is content web parts, so this appears only for the content search tool pane and not for the search results tool pane. And you can see that there are some other additional properties here. So the one that we will be interested in today is managed property mapping. So you can see that this is already pulling in properties like path, like title, like file extension, secondary file extension, etc. So that's the area that basically tells SharePoint what managed properties to pull for these set of search results. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new line here for last modified time. And I'll tell it, hey, if you can't find last modified time, and by what I mean by can't find, if that value is null or empty, go ahead and pull in created as well and use that. That's the backup, right? And I will refer to this as modified date later in my display template. So that's the name I'm giving it. This is the managed property. These are the managed properties that I've asked my display template to go ahead and pull from search. So I will scroll down to this section where we basically have some JavaScript code. So you can see above, we're pulling in the link URL by using this built-in function called getItemValue, and then line 1 and line 2, which was the title and, you know, the additional information that we wanted. So what I want to do is I want to create a JavaScript variable called modifiedDate, and I will use the built-in getItemValue function to refer to that name that I used in the header that I just added. So I will go ahead and get this in here. When this gets executed, the value that is returned from search ends up in that JavaScript variable, and you can do whatever you want with it. So after this line, I have my modified date data in this variable. What I need to do is go ahead and add a div to my HTML to start showing that. And to do that, I will come down here, basically. I will add this div. I will give it a class name so it looks a little nicer than usual. And then I have these characters that basically do the plumbing between these JavaScript variables that are kind of special and pull in the data from search so that they will just appear there in my div. So I basically used that JavaScript variable name that I used up a moment ago. So I will go ahead and save this file. Remember that I had opened this from my master page gallery as an Explorer view. So when I save, it actually goes and saves into SharePoint. So I go back to my page, and I take it into edit mode, and then I will click on Edit Web Parts. And then when I pull down the item display template menu, I will see the documents with dates appear there as an option. So what happened there was, because I changed the name and I saved it, the JavaScript file got recreated with that name, so that name started to appear in my dropdown for item display templates. I will go ahead and click that, and as soon as you select it, immediately the display template kicks into action, goes ahead and pulls that data in, and then starts showing that data as the second line, as the second div that I added to the display template. Thank you. I know it's not as impressive in the slides, but this is pretty close to the real thing. All right. So I will click OK and save my page. And then, you know, this is what my page is looking like right now. So this was pretty simple, right? We pulled in the data, we assigned it to a JavaScript variable, then we used that variable inside a div, and then it just started showing the data, right? So, but this is JavaScript, right? So I can do so much more with this. Like you can do whatever you want. So a very, very simple example to demonstrate this point. So I will come back to my display template. Remember this line where I pulled in the data into this modified date variable in JavaScript? So I can just go ahead and create an if statement here, and then I will create a new date object, a new JavaScript object from the date value that I pulled in from search. And I can go ahead and compare this to, you know, a fixed date here for illustrative purposes. So I'm comparing it to see, you know, if it was modified later than November 1st, right? This could be arbitrarily complex. This is JavaScript. You can write whatever you want. You could write for loops. You could write if statements. You can branch this out. You can make this as complex as you want. And then if this condition is true, then I will simply add a new statement in bold before showing that modified date line. So I think I mentioned that we wanted to make the editing experience as smooth as possible, as simple as possible, based on the feedback we got from the XSL editing experience. So look at what's happening here. So I added these lines. I will go and click on Save. I go back to my site, I refresh the page, and the new appears. There isn't anything else to it, because I saved it into my master page gallery. I basically, when the file gets saved, the new JS gets created, and the page starts using it right away. You don't need to go ahead and change it to something else, you know, try to clear some cache. It just works for you when you make a change and then refresh your page. It's just there. No, all will not see it. It will basically have the same properties as the HTML file. So you will have full control if you don't want to check something in for people to see. This would be only available for the administrator at this point until he published the, if you had the versioning and you know the workflow and publishing on. Sorry, I'll go there first. No, but JavaScript, there are many available JavaScript libraries that you can basically go ahead and pull those values in for. You could write, there are many online samples where, you know, you have some sample JavaScript that will calculate, you know, today or, you know, 5 days from today, a week ago, that kind of thing. Sorry, I had a question here. Sorry, say that again. They are not minified. We actually looked into that to have performance gains, basically, right? What we do is we strip away all the HTML, all the comments from it. So it's as small as possible. but we don't actually go and minify it or merge the files together. We found that most display templates are 1 or 2 kilobytes long, so it's not really worth the trouble of creating those. We didn't see any performance gains there, so this makes the experience a little better for editing, etc. Yes. Hold that question. I'll come back to that. Sure. Go ahead. So the way you share these is you basically take the HTML files, you copy them into the other master page gallery, and it works. No. You basically copy and paste into the other display, other site collection master page gallery. It's coming. All right. Yes, you can. This is actually pulling content from another site collection. Yes, you can just simply paste in the URL for that list, and then it would pull the. Let me move on with my presentation, and we'll do Q&A in the end. All right, we haven't gone to the search center yet, so let's go there. So what we've done here is we copied an existing display template, we added a managed property, and then we started to customize that information based on the JavaScript condition that we added. All right. So everything that you've just learned about display templates directly applies to the search center as well. So, I should be switching over to my slides. So everything that we just saw directly applies to the search center as well. The search center web parts also use the display templates, and they do it in a little more advanced fashion. So let's meet the family. So these are all new search web parts that we're introducing in SharePoint 2013. You see the core results, there's the search box, there's the refinement web box. All of these have been written from scratch so that they can take advantage of the client-side rendering advantages and display templates infrastructure. So let's do a quick test. Raise your hand when you're done. Find the PDF. Yes. All right. Now find Joanna's project. Can't see any hands. Oh, 1, 2, 3. That one is a little harder, right? So what's the problem here? The results that we saw on that page looked all the same. It's hard to tell one result apart from another result. The thing is, the company documents are not the same, right? So we have many distinct things that exist out of box, Word documents, PowerPoint documents, sites. In addition to that, your company has some special types of files that you want to stand out. They're not just any other file, right? So what we want to do is I will introduce result types, and they allow you to tailor the look of important types of results for your company, and then hook them up with a display template so that you can show them the way you want them to be shown. All right. So result types are basically two things. They are conditions that match a property, so you can identify a certain type of result. Then they use a display template to basically go ahead and customize how that result type should be looked. So a condition, you can say content type X or file type XYZ, right? And then you basically say, okay, when this condition is true for a given result in my search center, go ahead and use this result type to show that content. So let's look at some of the out-of-box result types that we have. So you can see that the out-of-box result types are basically, so everything, all the goodness that you may have seen in yesterday's demos about the Search Center is actually through the magic of result types and display templates. There's nothing else to it. So that means you can actually go ahead and take advantage of them yourselves for your own custom result types. So you can see that the PowerPoint documents basically have the WAC preview, and then you can take a look inside and zoom to any section of that document, open in a new tab. We have the view library, send, edit, follow links at the bottom that will allow you to interact with the results from right there from your Search Center. And then if I look at a page, that will basically bring up a nice snapshot of that page. So I know exactly where I'm going before even clicking on that link from my Search Center. And I can see other results from that site at the bottom here, for the documents from coming from that particular site. For videos, I can basically click on the video and then start playing it in line in my browser, because that's the player is built into that hover panel that you're seeing, hover panel display template that you're seeing here. So in the scenario that I'm going to be talking about, we will basically have a scenario where we have marketing campaigns from your marketing department. So how would I go about creating a result type for that? We will plumb any properties that we need to use in our display templates into Search. And I have some good news there. Let me come back to that. You would create the look that you want in your display template, kind of like what we did in the content search demo. You would copy one that's close to what you need, and then start customizing it. And then you would create the result type that defines the condition that you want to use, and then point it to the display template that you just created. And then you would just try it out in your Search Center with a search. So here's the scenario that I want to show you. My marketing department has marketing campaigns. And when I look at a search results page, I can't tell the marketing campaign documents apart from regular documents. So I want to make these stand out and show the additional fields that are appropriate for marketing campaigns in my results. With that, going back to my demo environment. So this is the scenario that I'm talking about. So I type in campaigns, and I get back a number of results. And the first one is a PowerPoint document. The second one is actually the marketing campaign called Light Up Your Life. But I have no way of knowing that. It just looks like another PowerPoint document, right? I can't really tell it apart. And this is basically the document library where these documents were being placed in. So you can see that I have the names of the documents here, and then it's associated with the PowerPoint deck. And I have a marketing geography field. This is a taxonomy field that we used, and then it's it tells us what geography the campaign is targeting. There's a spokesperson for the campaign, there's an image for the spokesperson, and then there's an estimated reach number for the reach of the campaign. So what I've done here when I was creating this content type for this marketing campaign is I've used site columns. Not regular columns, but site columns. That's an important distinction. So when you go ahead and create site columns and use them in one of your libraries and then add some content to it, when Search starts crawling that content, it will say, hey, this is a site column. This must be a big deal. This must be important. Let me go ahead and automatically create a managed property for that. So if I go back to my site settings page and click on the search schema link that you can see here, and I can type in spokesperson, and I didn't create these managed properties. When this content gets crawled, this spokesperson image OWS URL H, which indicates that it's a hyperlink basically, and then the spokesperson OWS text fields got created for me automatically. You can tell that these were the auto-generated properties by that OWS tag and the type information that comes after that information. Look at reach. Estimated reach, OWS number, that got created for me automatically. Let's look at geography. Now, this one has a funny naming schema because we were auto-creating these in SharePoint 2010, and we didn't want to break backwards compatibility. So these actually use the OWS tax ID prefix instead of the postfix. But what's important is you don't need to do anything to get these managed properties. You don't need to go to talk to your search administrator. If you are the search administrator, you can just tell people to go and, you know, use site columns, and then they will get managed properties created automatically. Now, these are all text-based managed properties. So if you actually wanted to use numbers or dates, we will create them as text. So you have just access to the values. That's because the text types are easy to auto-create and they don't take up too much server resources. But numeric values are more expensive. So we didn't want to go and create numeric values out of box automatically. So if you really, really want to compare some numbers in your managed properties, or if you want to sort by them, or if you want to refine by them, you should still go ahead and, you know, use the existing managed property mappings for creating your own custom managed properties. Go ahead. Incremental crawl is fine. Yes. So what happens is basically you create the site column, you add an item with that content type basically, and the incremental crawls that goes on after that will actually go ahead and create this managed property. Oh, thank you. All right, so we have our managed properties, right? And what I will do next is I will, in site settings, I will go ahead and click on search result types. So you can see that here's the UI for managing result types. So you can see that there are 31 out-of-box managed result types that exist in the Search Center. So this is what makes all the magic appear in the Search Center. You know, the magic of video files playing inline and the sites being displayed. So this is all the existing result types that we provide out of box. So what you want to do is you want to click on New Result Type and create your own. So first you start with giving it a name. So it just appears on that list with a descriptive name. I'll call this one Marketing Campaign. And then next up is the conditions, right? When does this result type actually kick in? So you can create a number of conditions here. You can click here to make sure that it only matches one of the result sources, or you can have it match all result sources, right? For the purposes of this demo, we'll leave it as all sources. And then the next drop down over, you will go ahead and select a type. You can select a type here for Microsoft Excel, PDF, or document library, etc. I will skip that as well. What I will do instead is I will click here on Show More Conditions. And then the dropdown that I have under Show More Conditions basically goes and shows me all the managed properties that are available. So I can go and select, for example, the content type managed property. And then this custom property, you can use the choose an operator here for equals, any of, contains any of, less than, greater than, etc. I will go ahead and say choose contains any of. And then I will simply type in the marketing campaign name. If this were a multilingual scenario, I'd go with the content type ID because the name changes from language to language. But for this demo, we'll stick to English and you know, stick to readable things and not content type IDs. All right. So I could have added a value here to say match on marketing campaigns and another content type, for example. Or I could have added yet another managed property and another condition. So this is a pretty rich interface for creating some conditions. And so you can pretty much describe everything that you would need to describe. All right. So next on down is actions, right? So what the actions fields shows what should these results look like, and then it asks you to select a display template. Now here, I have pre-created a marketing campaign display template. and I will use that. And then I will go into the details of that later, but let's see what it looks like for now. So I go ahead and click the marketing campaign. And it basically shows me the URL for the JS file, as you can see, that it will actually go and grab to show these results. And then I will go ahead and click save. It basically gives me a summary here. So these were the result types that the search service provided for me. And for this particular site collection, I went and created a new result type that says marketing campaign. So when the content type contains marketing campaign, use the marketing campaign display template, right? It's that simple. All right, let's see it in action. So I go back to my search results. Remember that this is how it looked, right? So I had the PowerPoint document here, and I couldn't really tell it apart from the marketing campaign document. That was the second result. So this is what it looked like. So when I refresh the page after adding my marketing campaign result type, you can see right away that now we have a little indicator for marketing campaign. And look what appears in the hover panel. Campaign details. I see the estimated reach. I see the spokesperson. I see the spokesperson image. And for geography, I did something fancy with JavaScript. Went to Bing, queried the name, got back the location, and then painted that in a map. Just for fun. All right. You want to see how that's done? All right. So what I started with, basically, is because this is, you know, a PowerPoint content type, I went ahead and copied the PowerPoint item display template and the PowerPoint hover panel display templates that are in the search folder. So that just gives me a starting point to start customizing and making it my own. So I basically copied it just like how we did it in the content search demo, and then I went and changed the title to read marketing campaign, which was the name that appeared in my dropdown when I was creating my result type, right? And then I basically came down to this area in the body where I have a script tag here. So you can see that we have some built-in scripts, built-in functions that help you include some additional JavaScript files, for example. So you can see that I added this include script. I used include script and included this item search marketing Bing maps.js. It's a JavaScript file that I created. And I also went and created, I also included a CSS file for styling my results appropriately. And then the only difference that I don't have in my slides here is that I went and added a big div that says marketing campaign in bold letters, you know, so that item actually appears with that header in the results. So let's look at the hover panel and see what's going on there. Again, we have the title change, and you remember this section for managed property mappings, right? So you can see that this one is much richer. So it was pulling in lots of different items like editor, hit highlighted summary, document ID, file extension, etc. What I did was add these new managed properties. So these are the auto-generated managed properties that I showed you in the search schema before. So I went ahead and typed those in here and gave them some names that I could refer to them by. So we have the estimated reach here, we have the geography, we have the spokesperson, and then we have the spokesperson, the URL to the image of the spokesperson. What's next? I came down and then started filling out my managed property values to JavaScript variables so I can go ahead and start using those in my display template. It's just like how we pulled in the modified date in the first example, right? It's just we do it for four different properties here. The only difference that I will point out here is that you can see that for the spokesperson image, I actually, instead of showing it in the default renderer, I actually, which goes and HTML encodes everything. So if you HTML encode a URL, it will not actually work for pulling in for being used in a source tag, right? So you can tell your display template to actually URL HTML encode this, and then use it as the SRC attribute for one of your image tags, for example. Then I have this section here for setting up the map. So I basically create a div ID, and then I call this function from my JavaScript file for adding geography. And this is a tricky part. And if you're familiar with how jQuery works, then you will remember that in jQuery you have the document.ready event, and then you once that fires, you go ahead and do some additional processing. So what I want to do for my display templates is hook into the onPostRender event. So that's the event that's kind of equivalent to document.ready. We want to go ahead and create this map because we want to make sure the div for the map has been created prior to me going and trying to paint something into it. So I will create this callback here and then call the createMap function inside that. And basically I scrolled down and then added these divs here. I have the estimated reach here. This is just like the modified date, nothing fancy. And then underneath, if you remember, I showed you that when I showed you the screenshot, there were some red dots that were indicating the reach of the campaign, right? So I do that by basically dividing the estimated reach value by 100,000, and then in a for loop, basically printing out some divs that look like squares. So, these will scale based on the reach of your campaign. So you can have 3 squares or 10 squares, depending on how many items, what the search information that you get back from contains. And then I have the spokesperson here. And then I use an image tag here with the source for the spokesperson image. And then I use the useful image renditions feature from the publishing toolset that will go ahead and size that appropriately for me. Without me having to apply any styles to it or worry about how big the images are across different display templates. And then here I have the marketing, the geography, and then I have my div for the Bing map. So that's basically it. And then we ended up with this display template, basically. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, this guy has been, preparing for this demo forever, and, he's probably, ran into many issues, but then we're just seeing the final product. When I try this, something's going to go wrong, and it's not going to be this smooth. So I'll show you a little bit of the editing experience and what can go wrong. So how do you debug display templates? I will show you a couple of things. And then I will end the session and open it up for questions, basically. So what I'm doing here is I'm coming back to my display template, which you can't see yet, and going and adding this unknown attribute to my div, right? And remember that it looked like this. If I save that with the unknown attribute and then click on refresh, I basically get this helpful message that says in the search marketing campaign underscore hoverpanel.html, there's an unexpected token here, in line 87, position 20. So we try to make sure that the information that you need gets surfaced up into your display template so you can have a smooth iteration while you're going through your errors and debugging your display templates. There were a couple of other things, like, for example, when you included that JavaScript file, if you mistyped the path, for example, we will go ahead and say, hey, we couldn't find this JavaScript item that you referenced. Please check the reference. If you have some unclosed divs, for example, we will go ahead and give you a warning about those things. So we tried to make it as smooth as possible at compile time to catch these HTML type errors. What's even better is because this is all JavaScript and HTML, you can use the built-in browser debuggers for debugging these display templates. So if I hit F12 on Internet Explorer and I go over to the script tab, then I will come down here and find that my item search marketing campaign underscore hoverpanel.js file is loaded there. And I will go ahead and select that and add a breakpoint to it. So whenever I hover over one of my results, the F12 debugger will break into that JavaScript file, basically. And you can see the JavaScript file. It looks pretty much like, you know, what we had in the HTML file, where we're filling in the values here, we're calling add geography, we're calling create map. And then you should look at what we have here on the right-hand side. I click on locals, and there's this variable called CTX. So CTX.currentItem is your friend, because when you expand that, you can basically go and see everything that was returned from search for that particular item. You can see estimated reach, right? Not formatted nicely, but the data is there. You can see the file extension. You can see the hit highlighted properties. You can see things like spokesperson's image URL. You can see the spokesperson name. You can see the document title. This allows you to see what was returned to search and actually go and tweak your JavaScript or HTML so that you can show that content in the best way possible. Also, when you assign things over to these JavaScript variables using the getItemValue built-in function, you're able to see what the input value was for that variable and then what managed properties actually matched and pulled the data in from in the debugger. So this allows you to figure out what's going wrong with your display template and then come back to a state where, you know, everything is back to working. All right. So you should take the hints from the error messages we have in the UI, and then for runtime errors, using browser debugging, or you can even attach a Visual Studio. I think there's an article on MSDN for that. And CTX.currentItem, when you're using the F12 browser debugging, is your friend. So we're done. And this is what we built in an hour, right? I mean, we were able to add some dynamic content to an intranet site, customize how things looked. Then we went to the search center and customized how marketing campaign results looked for your end users, for your marketing department. So you were able to figure out how to customize these experiences in the search center and in your intranet sites and understand what display templates are and what result types are and how they interact with each other. I'd like to call out some hands-on labs that may be beneficial for you if you're interested. The search query rules one and the hands-on with content search web parts are two that might be interesting for you. I will also call out some session names. You may want to go and look at the 9 o'clock show tomorrow by Pedro de Rose about query rules and building great search-based applications. And then I highly recommend the 1:45 session at the bottom here. So this is a web content management session. So they will look at display templates in the context of content search web parts, but they'll do very cool things using jQuery and display templates, so merging them together. So I highly recommend it if you're interested in doing more with display templates. So that would be a good session to watch. Please complete an evaluation form. I promise you I will be reading every single feedback that you guys provide, no matter how many. So, and I will try to incorporate that into my future presentations. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, questions? Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. So, no, not at this time. I mean, I know the team is working on it. And it's just and feature parity between on-prem and online is always our goal. I just don't have a date.